Woo! Derek, what's going on, my man?
Not much, Sean. Excited to be here.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being on the program, dude. We were talking literally like a minute before this how the election is just, it's fucking nuts. It's crazy. Like there's so many intangibles. I'm literally on the edge of my seat, like with like bated breath, as they say, eating some popcorn. Like, dude, I can't wait. This is a thriller. This is better than some movies out there.
Yeah, it's like watching a horse race in slow motion, right? Like every single step, like somebody changes leads and everything's swinging one direction or the other. And, you know, you're hearing it from both sides, what their thoughts are, and they're both confident. So it's definitely a nail biter for sure.
Yeah. So Big Life Financial, you founded this company. You're the whole infrastructure behind this. You're the brains. And I think that it's so valuable to have you on right now because I truly believe we're entering in possibly the greatest opportunistic, event in my lifetime with the stock market, with real estate, with all of these things. So I kind of just wanted to like really touch on what should people be doing, especially millennials that might not necessarily have a portfolio yet in the market. Like, what should they be doing to really prepare themselves?
Well, and I'll tell you this right up front, Sean. I'm not a huge fan of the stock market at all for most people because most people don't understand it. So my cardinal rules for investing, and this is especially applies to if you're millennial or younger or really just getting started in life, invest in things you know about. Kind of makes sense, right? If you're going to store your life wealth somewhere, things you care about. Because when you care about things, you pay attention to them. And if you don't, you don't pay attention to them. And guess what happens to stuff you don't pay attention to? It sucks, right? And things you control. And the real power behind control is if you have some ability to impact it, you're empowered, you're engaged. We lose hope when we're involved in things we have no control over, right? Like this, I know there are a bunch of people sitting at home on their couch right now over the election and they're feeling disempowered because they don't have any more control. And they feel like their fate is sealed by everybody else, right? I saw this meme the other day that said the voting for the election's like doing a group project. I did my part, but I'm afraid the rest of you all are going to screw it up, right?
That's a good
And it sucks.
analogy.
Yeah, it was really funny. But that's kind of how people feel sometimes when they take their money and they put it somewhere where they don't have any control over it. Listen, most people are not professional investors. So you putting money into things that you don't understand is super risky. So I think if you don't know what to do, and this really applies to young people because they're more open to this idea. Sometimes when you get older, you think you know things you don't, or you don't want to learn new things. But truly, if you think, you know what, I want to learn, I want to invest in real estate, I want to invest in the stock market, I want to invest in gold and silver or Bitcoin or private equity or whatever you're into, your first goal is just get educated. Spend a little bit of money, spend a couple $1,000 or spend a year and like really learn that thing, you get to use that skill set, that knowledge for the rest of your life. Rather than being a sheep and being blindly out there, hopefully getting herded to the direction you think you want to go, you actually know what's going on. It's just such a different approach to things. So generally speaking, that's the most important thing with investments. And I think for young people, early on, even if you got student loan debt, even if you have these other things that are, you know, can be kind of on your shoulders, you have to learn how to save. And this sounds crazy, but if you don't save money, you never have any money to invest. Like people try and skip over the saving part. They go out and they try and invest, they get their money working for them, and then like their car breaks down and they have to cash out of the investment to pay for the car. And so they end up losing money and have to pay surrender fees and all this other stuff. Like you do have to have a cash cushion first. And so building that discipline of just when I make some money, I take some chips off the table. I set them aside in a place where they're going to grow for me, or in the beginning, that just create a buffer, right? An emergency account. That really paves the road to being able to do this other investment stuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. I think that it's so wise. I mean, I have about like what 25K in student debt. And I'm a very risky person in the sense that I know I'm young, but that's like the greatest, it's the greatest time to invest, in real estate, the market, all this kind of stuff. So I think it's really wise to get educated. There's a great book called The Millionaire Next Door. I think it's like Charles Stanley, I believe, who wrote it.
Yeah, I
And
wrote that. Yeah, I read that in like the 90s.
amazing book, amazing book. Yeah, you read it before I was born. And I'm pretty sure a bunch of other people did too. But it really touches on what you just illustrated of, saving money, being frugal, living below your means, and then pouncing on that opportunity while it comes. And it's like for me, man, I'm in Philadelphia. So real estate, you can buy sub 3% mortgages here, 10-year tax abatement, 1-year builder's warranty, you know, I want to have a nice little, you know, 350, 400K property with I live in the master suite, rent out the other three, house hack it, collect like five hundo a month, which is like, what, $6,000 a year annually. Mm-hmm. And I live for free. And then I also have like my other stock portfolio. But, you know, when I was in high school, man, and I'm sure a lot of people have this thing too, is like, they look up to someone who is not even like maybe a couple years older than them. Yeah. And it's like, oh my God, I'm so overwhelmed. I don't know anything. I don't know what to do. Like, I have a couple of people right now that I'm struggling with. Like, and again, it's your own ego talking. It's like, man, I really need to live with my own expectations. But it's like, cool the jets there, Slick. Like, you really need to, you know, do proper research, and you don't have to be them. You have to be yourself. So their goals are obviously not necessarily your goals. So I think definitely like setting a goal of, okay, what are you even investing for? Is it to just have a couple, you know, $100 a month on the side? Is it you want to invest in, you know, something that's like crazy? Like, I don't know, like Bitcoin, I think is a little more, you know, I would be a good example for that, which I have a little bit of money in, but who knows? I mean, I was the one dumbass who I invested when it was like almost at 20K, but who knows? I know there's some experts that are saying it's going to be like at 50 or 60, but yeah. Point being, man, it's education first, and I totally agree with that. I think it's really well thought out, because, you know, and again, you don't have to be some crazy investor type guy where you're like, oh, you know, like, I have to come from a wealthy family, have to have all the books read, you know. No. You just have to be open-minded. You have to be creative. I think that that's such a lost art nowadays, where people just think that, oh, like, I'm going to have this handed to me and all this kind of stuff with technology and you know, from my culture especially, it's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, my best friend, he's from a coal mining town where, you know, his dad worked in the coal mines. His uncles worked in the coal mines. They hardly made any money, super dirt cheap, dirt broke, you know, and 20 years ago graduated college. And now he makes multiple seven figures a year. It's not about where you came from. It's about where you're going. The way to make money in the world is through specialized skills. In other words, get really, really damn good at what you do. Mm-hmm. Because if you're really good at what you do, people are going to pay you for it. So I think for young people, investing in yourself and your skill set is the most valuable thing you can do. And like, if you're an employee, what that looks like is a little different than if you're a business owner. But in both cases, like, if you're an employee, I would advise people, and this is going to sound crazy to people, is don't take your first or second job based on how much money you're going to make. Take it based on what are the skills I'm going to learn and who are the people I'm going to be around. If you make a little less money your first couple of years, but you're around people who are amazing at what they do, and you're going to learn skills that are going to let you get that next really good job that you want, or maybe get the job that's going to get you the really good skills so you can get the ultimate job, that's the direction you need to go in. It's really about becoming excellent at what you do, because, like, I work and help people to pay less taxes so they keep more of the money they make and then be smarter with the money that they do make. But if you don't make the money in the first place, none of that other stuff matters. Right? And the way you make really good money is you get really good at what you do. And that's specialized knowledge. That's not the stuff that everybody knows. If everybody knows it, it doesn't pay well, right? Everybody, like, digging a ditch, it's hard work, but everyone knows how to do it. So it doesn't pay very well. Maybe something like, I don't know, like flipping a house, right? It's not actually that hard, but a lot of people don't know the metrics. They don't know how much should I really pay and how do I negotiate? These aren't difficult things, but it's specialized knowledge. And if you know how to do it, you can make a lot of money flipping a house, right? So it's not about how hard it is. It's about knowing how to do things that other people either don't know how to do or don't want to do, and being able to do those for people. And that's how you make the money. So invest in your skill set. It's probably the most valuable thing you can do. And if you do it in your 20s or your early 30s, like you are, that gets to pay you for the next 30, 40, 50 years. Like, it's major.
And what do you think are some, like, special skills? Because I'm in digital marketing, right? Mm-hmm. So with SEO, doing Google ads, that would be a skill. But, like, mm-hmm. in general, what do you see, just, I guess, like, in, as a broad generality of skills that you can forecast of, oh, this is going to be, you're going to, you know, want to do this moving forward?
I think a new one. So if you would ask me 2 years ago, I would have said copywriting is really good, right? The ability to sell in print. I think that's transitioning to what we're doing right now. It's video. Your ability to sell on video, I think, trumps almost everything else. it's the direction that TV is going, the direction that the internet is going, is so much more is done on video or audio than in the written word. Like, we've almost stopped sending emails to our list unless it has a video in it, because the videos build rapport. They build a relationship. Your generation, especially, like, your BS meter is so high. You guys are so tired of that load of crap that everybody's giving. The distrust is so high. It's really easy to like lie or twist or whatever in words. When you're talking to somebody, you can read their nonverbal. You can hear their tonality. There's so much more connection that can happen there. So the ability to connect with people over video, I think it's the next really big thing. And it's like, yeah, duh, that sounds obvious now that you see it. But a lot of people don't realize it yet. And if you can become an incredible storyteller and you can learn how to really connect with people, you're going to be miles ahead of other people. And I don't think that skill is going away anytime soon. So I think that's a really good one to invest in. Even if it's just, we're doing client meetings, right? Just to be able to connect with people and them to like you. Like right now, I'm talking to you. I'm not looking down here at the screen. I'm looking at the camera. That's a learned skill. Sounds silly, but I don't know if you've seen some of these interviews on the elections or whatever, and the guy's like talking like this and you're like, what's that guy doing? Right?
Right.
Sounds silly. Being more animated than you normally are makes a big difference. I'm usually a chill guy, but when I get on camera, I have to like lift it up, because they say that, you know, the camera adds 10 pounds. Well, it also takes a lot of the energy out of what you're giving. So you have to give a ton of energy for people to get it. So I think that's one of the skill sets that's really important. I think the ability to understand how brands are built, if you want to be in business for yourself in the modern world through social media, through leveraging video, or like what you're doing with the podcast, understanding leverage, super, super huge. We've had just such a transition over the last couple of years with YouTube and podcasts and everything, to where you can literally have your own radio or TV station. That's never happened before. And people are figuring it out, but it's still so Wild West, right? Like when I first started doing marketing online back in 2008, like it was super Wild West. You could just throw up a web page and like push Google Ads straight to a sales page with no other pages or anything. And you could just like collect all these leads. That's where we're at right now with YouTube and with podcasting. Sure, they've been around 5, 6, 7 years, just like in 2008. The selling online had been around for 10 years, but nobody really knew how to do it. And the algorithms hadn't caught up and people hadn't figured it out. And it wasn't how people were used to engaging yet. People are really, really engaging with video now. So I think that's a huge one that most people wouldn't know. But I think traditional stuff, when you build a business, Sean, one of my favorite things is, don't build your business around what's going to change, right? Like technology or certain platforms.
Sure.
Build your business around what doesn't change. People want a real human. They want to be able to trust you. They want to be able to realize that you know what you're talking about. So put in the work, be an expert, learn to care about people, because you can't fake connection, right? You have to genuinely care about people. Mm-hmm. Everybody's talking about, how do I leverage my relationships? It's kind of hard to do. Nobody wants to be a number anymore. We're tired of that, right? So something like video, you can create a real relationship with real people, or live streaming video where they can like be right here in the feed. And I do like live trainings every single week in my Facebook group where people can come on. They can ask real questions. They can connect with me. Dude, that builds massive credibility. And people know you're a real person. And if you suck at what you do, it shows. So you got to be good, right? Because they're throwing curveballs. What about this? And if you don't know and you're on camera going, but, you know, people get really, really critical. So you do have to be the real deal. But I think that's the biggest thing, that if you could learn one thing right now, that's it to me, no matter what business you're in.
Dude, that's so fucking true. I literally, when your VA, I forget her name, Heather, right, reached out to me. And I think she like sent me like one of your videos or something like that. And I was like, oh, like I get like a lot of, you know, applications like to be on the podcast, whatever. But it's funny and it's ironic because my dad's financial company is called Life Financial Planning, right? So I saw Big Life Financial. I was like, oh, okay, that's nice. And then I saw like a video and it's so much more personable. It's so much more enjoyable, you know. And talk about the BS meter. I send automated about 500 cold emails, right? And just like you said, I literally put in, and this is the technology we live in. I can make a little video, like I have my phone, for the people who are just, you know, listening. I can take my phone and say, hey, this is Sean. I just saw you on LinkedIn. Oh, you went to Penn State too? Me too. Fantastic. Let's talk. And I can do that, send them that video, and it I can automate this the audio to match the school or to match like the name. So it's like, instead of it's like, hey Scott, hey James, hey Mary.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to Penn State, Mary. I know there's like some finessing there, but we all, you know, we're in sales at the end of the day. So there's a little bit of that. But
yeah,
it's, you need to be creative. And this is the whole point, man. Like you need to step up your game. Like, and here's the thing I like about social media too, with like the whole video thing, is like, you know, immediately if someone's got it or not, if someone has the carte blanche, someone has just it, that X factor, they know so fast, and you're going to get, you know, immediate feedback, and you need to be prepared to handle that. Like, when I was first doing the podcast and I had like some fucking guy who couldn't even talk on it, you know, it's like the guy was like almost like speaking gibberish. I'm like, dude, I can't air this. Like, I really can't. And then when I did, because, you know, my fucking ego took over, and I was like, screw it, whatever. I got so much backlash. Everyone was like, oh my God, like, this really wasn't a good episode. And the guy, he was like, man, maybe I should like, you know, stop doing this. But I was like, you know what? He wanted to be a public speaker, believe it or not. Right. So he was a very shy guy. I'm like, listen, this is your dream. This is your dream. I'm not going to, you know, talk crap on you. I'm just going to give you it how it is. Here's what people are saying. Here's what I would do if I were you, to take steps to be a better public speaker and just be more interesting. Because at the end of the day, it's telling stories. It's telling stories. That's the name of the game. And if you can capture someone's attention, man, and really run with it, you're golden. You know, like this podcast, as much as I want to help people and grow, it's just about sitting back and bullshit, really, like just like meeting different people with you and all these, you know, wonderful entrepreneurs that I've come into contact with. But, you know, I'll tell you a quick story talking about stories.
Sure.
So when I was in high school, right, my dad had a bar, and I tell the story every single podcast, but whatever, people are probably sick of it. And I had a couple of details in there, so I make it a little nuanced and new for people. But anyway, so I was like 15, 16, right? I went to the great school of Roman Catholic High School, all boys school. Sure, I got my balls busted on that, but we had Hallahan, which is an all girls school, a couple down, you know, blocks down the road, so it wasn't too bad, right? Anyway, I was 15, 16. I would get out of class, right? I would go all the way down. I'd take 17th Front and Market SEPTA, take the adjacent bus, I think it was 32, all the way down to South Street, right? Mm-hmm. I go to South Street, and my dad had the bar where I would bartend, right? I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I was just doing it to make some extra cash on the side. So, you know, my dad, I'll never forget this. He's like, oh, Sean, if you don't know how, just like say, oh, you got to go to the bathroom real quick and Google it. Right. That's what he told me. That's what he said to make up the drinks. I was like, all right, that seems, you know, simple enough. I have an iPhone.
Yeah. Teach yourself as you go. Yeah,
exactly. It's fantastic. And what I realized was it was like the island of broken children or something like that. It was a mess in South Street. But here's the thing. You know how to talk to people with that. You learn. Yeah, like, and here's the best part about it, man. It's face to face. You know what I mean? I know we're in COVID times, and you know, you don't want to talk to people or whatnot, but, and for good reason, I guess. But you know, you really need to learn that face to face interaction. There's nothing like it. So I think, however you can do that on social media, on Zoom, on your podcast, on YouTube, anything. I think the better face to face you can get, the better you're going to be off. Period. Like, and here's another example for you. I was going to make this podcast just audio. I was going to say, fuck it. You know, like, I don't necessarily have a studio. It's kind of inconsistent, whatever. Now we actually have a studio being actually constructed as we speak, which is going to be live hopefully in a couple months, end of the year. We'll keep that on the DL for now. But more importantly, it's that face-to-face. It's being, and it's just, you built that relationship. Like, I can have people come over. Oh, like, I can fly out to, you know, from LA or Boston or whatever. If it's LA, that'd be kind of expensive, but you get my gist.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Do a Joe Rogan style.
Yeah. Fuck it. Why not? You know, his studio, I'm warming up to it, but I just like the old one so much better with the American flag draped behind it. Jimi Hendrix. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think he was like, well, you know, I'm making more money. Maybe we should up our game. But right. Yeah, I think for him, it's not about any of that. He's just an inquisitive dude. He just loves to talk to people. I think that's why people like him. He's like the any man. He's so relatable. He doesn't try and talk over his head. He does his research before people come on. So he's a pro. He shows up, he's prepared, and then he's himself. And and he's just done it so much. And like what you were saying before with like the public speaker or whatever, like before you're good at something, you're going to be bad. Okay. Everybody starts at bad. So just get through it. Don't put it off. Just start doing the thing you want to do. And over time you'll get good. And for most people, the gap between sucking and really good is about 2 years. So you start off sucking and then you suck a little less and then a little less, and then you're halfway decent, then you're pretty good. And 2 years from now, you're a stud. You're awesome at it because you practiced and you didn't just show up and do it. You did it. You went home and you thought, how could I do that better? You get feedback, you get coaching, you work with people who are good at what they do. And man, it's amazing how it happens, because once you become aware what good is like, you can live into that more and your confidence increases and you have more experience and it all just snowballs. And that's really how it works, whether you're talking about financially, skill sets, socially, physically. Like the better shape you get in, the longer you can work out, the more you can push it, right? You're not so worried about your connective tissue, your bones, your joints, that kind of stuff. You just really go for it. And that's when you see massive gains, man. So
yeah, it's that 10,000 hour model with Malcolm Gladwell, you know, with outliers. Mm-hmm. It's, you got to put in the work, you got to put in the time. And this is something that you mentioned earlier in the show, is like, you got to be good at, you know, a couple of things. You can't try to be Mr. Perfect in everything, right?
It's hard, like, yeah.
There's the thing. You can be a jack of all trades, or you can be, you know, an ace of one, which I would want to be that ace of one, where not only am I getting a nice little chunk of change, but it's just, you're an ace at it. You're a pro. So people come to you, you're an authority figure, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it's really true. So going back to what you were saying with the, you know, not necessarily stocks, real estate, what would you say is a good play, maybe Q1, Q2 of 21, for people that like are just out of college and like, hey, I just landed this job. Maybe I'm spending a couple $100s of my, you know, like renting or something. And I'm looking at kind of like, oh, I got this car payment, student loans now. So I need to kind of generate some, not fast and short term dividends, but something that's going to help me, you know, escalate and set up for the long term.
So the first thing is, if you need short term income, I think side hustles are best for that, right? Pick something, you know, about something you're good at or something you have access to. You know, you can do something like Uber, or you could do something like bartending or whatever to get that extra cash, because all that extra cash is extra, right? Mm-hmm. And you should do that and have a plan for those dollars, because ultimately the goal, like you said, is it's to live below your means. And I'll tell you, I have issue with the book, The Millionaire Next Door, in the sense that it's good to live below your means, but those guys talk about the wealthiest people. They never had a new car. They never had nice shoes. They never bought a nice watch. They never lived in a nice house, right? You can't shrink your way to greatness. You can shrink your way to pretty wealthy by just living a crappy life and being Ebenezer Scrooge. But really what it's about is get better, make a lot of money, and then live below that. But you're making enough money that even living below that means you're still crushing it, right? Like that's really where you want to go with it. But for people who are looking to make money, like the fastest way is some kind of side hustle. That's today. If you're good with, I mean, you can do basic stuff that older people don't know how to do. Right? If you know how to set up a WordPress blog, you could do that for $250 a pop. If you know what you're doing, it takes 20 minutes, right? It's easy. Yep. You can do that kind of stuff. If you're, I used to, honestly, to make some extra money when I was struggling at one point, I used to teach dance lessons because I compete in competitive swing dancing and did a bunch of ballroom training and all that stuff. Nice. So I just did some side lessons, do a couple a week at $75 a pop, extra couple $100. I used to put together really cool, like, one of my adages in life is find a way to get paid for what you wanted to do with your life anyway. Mm-hmm. So another example of that is I was learning how to sail in San Diego and I like loved it. So what I started doing was I'd go out and I'd rent these boats and then I'd bring all my friends and have them all just chip in. Well, at the end of the day, I made $50 or $100 to go sailing, right? They'd all chip in $25, maybe $20 was to cover the boat, and 5 or 10 of them came along. So I made an extra $25 or $50 or $100, depending on the size of the boat, how many people and all that. Right. But I just made a little extra money. I got to go sailing every weekend instead of me paying, which is like income out. So that income out went to zero, but then income in was, let's call it $50, couple $100 a month. Plus I didn't pay the couple $100 I would have normally to have to go. So for me, it was maybe a $400-$600 a month swing. Right. So find ways to bring people together, and you essentially get paid to be the party creator, the event setter upper, the whatever. And most friends don't even care. They're like, yeah, okay, you're struggling right now, or you're not making a ton of money, because this was after like I lost my business and I was kind of switching businesses. You can do lots of little things like that. And then I think the key with that, Sean, is don't spend every one of those dollars. That's where you got to save some of that money to start building the snowball. You want to save the money, get that cushion. But as soon as you can get past that cushion, then you're going to move into, okay, now let me get this money earning for me. And we teach something called the money maximization model. I talked to you a little about it, but it's something where you can earn money similar to what you get in the stock market, but without all the risk, and your money's liquid. So if you're a business owner like you are, and you want to borrow some of the cash out to go build out your studio, you can use the money for that. And then we teach you how to turn that into your banking system. Mm-hmm. And over your lifetime, what that turns into is, instead of you paying the bank every time you buy a car or buy a house or remodel or build out a studio, you collect interest on that from your business is paying it to you personally, because you're the bank for yourself. And it's a major swing over time. But that's not going to get you there. And, you know, that takes a couple of years to really get the snowball rolling, just like the stock market or even real estate. When you go into real estate, you're behind for a couple of years, you collect and rent, but got to make up for the down payment. Like, there's not really a lot of things outside of you going out using your skill set that pay like today. I mean, you can speculate on Bitcoin or gold and silver and maybe ride that wave and get lucky. But if you don't know what you're doing, your chances are just as good that you're going to lose than you're going to win. And if you're running that tight, you shouldn't be taking those kind of risks. I think put your skills to play.
It's so true. You need to do, I think there's a tightrope you need to walk of doing what you love and doing what you're good at. So for me, I think I'm a natural salesman. Like I think I could be selling phones, I could be selling laptops. I think that I just love talking to people and selling. Mm-hmm. Right.
I can see that. Yeah.
That's my big thing. So I'll tell you a quick story. When I was in college, I would do Lyft, right? I would drive Lyft. The reason I did Lyft other than Uber is Uber is so saturated, they pay their drivers dick. Lyft is so much better. I think, like, as a convenience factor, the app is better, the UX is better, marketing, I think overall, maybe not the marketing, but like, because Uber has more clout, but I think Lyft just overall has a better product. So with that said, I signed up and I was like, oh my God, this is when the Jewel pod was going nuts and they're fiending. You know what I mean? They were hooked. So I'm not a big smoker. Sure, I'll smoke, you know, a joint here and there, but a la Joe Rogan, but it's like, I'm not like a crazy smoker. So what I did was I printed out and I typed this whole pricing sheet of mango pods, you know, $20, creme brulee. What else is there? There was mint. There was mango. There was a bunch of flavors, and I would put that on the back of my seat.
Right.
So people had to see it. And I would only go during the party hours. So like maybe Friday, Saturday, because I was a marketing student. I didn't necessarily, and I was doing the podcast and business. So it's like, I didn't necessarily have the time to go out and just party all the time. I was busy. So I was like, you know what? I have a couple hours. Fuck it. Let's go make some money. So, and this is, again, this is like a relief to me. This is like air to me. This is like fun. You know what I mean?
This is just what
I like to do. So it's not like, oh, Sean, you're working all this time. I this is what I like to do. This is like, if someone wants to go paintball or someone wants to go out drinking, I love to sell. That's what I like to do.
Yeah.
So I was in the car, and dude, I would drive like 11 o'clock to like 2 a.m. So 3 hours. In a 3 hour window, I would pick up all these hot ass sorority girls from, you know, Penn State, and they were hammered. They were hammered as almighty hell. I'd pick up frat guys, and I primarily targeted them because they're fucking big douchebags.
they're with
the girls who are going to spend money. So they were like, oh, like $20 for the, for a pot. I'm like, listen. And what I would do is sprinkle a little bit of FOMO in there. I'd be like, hey guys, I only have one pod left. I'm really sorry. Like, this is it. And they would pay, you know, my original price was 20. They'd pay 30 or 35 or even 40 sometimes. So double that. And
it's just knowing your market. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. So after a while, I was like, oh my God, this is incredible. And then, you know, I was like, wow, like this is, I used to work in a pizza shop, like I said, the bar, and now I was doing Lyft and owning my business. So I knew that I could sell. And again, you just have to know yourself. You really have to. Like, you can't pretend. I think that the second you stop pretending to be someone else and you really embrace who you are, you know, if you're a web developer and you're not necessarily like the most extroverted person, that's fine. Be the best damn web developer you can be. If you're a salesperson like me and you just need to talk to people, like, and you can be almost annoying, you know, to that degree, then be annoying. Be like me. You know, but I think there's that tightrope you have to walk where, okay, what are you doing what you love and what are you doing that you're good at? I think that that's such a good balance, you know?
It totally is. And also what can get you paid, right? Because there are some things like, I love to go to music festivals and I'm good at it. You're like, okay, well, you need to figure out how to get paid, because that economic part kind of matters if we're talking from a financial standpoint. If you're just talking about quality of life, you know, go do it, but you got to support those habits somehow. I really do my best to try and align that kind of stuff. And it really comes down to just get really good at the kind of things that you like to do. I got good at sailing. I got good at swing dancing. I got good at other things. And then I could get paid to do that stuff, right? But I had to kind of put the time in up front. But if you're going to do it anyway with your life, you may as well make some money at it. You don't have to, but if you're running tight, it's important. It makes a big difference. It means you get to do the stuff you want with your life.
Talk to me about dancing. Like, how did you learn that? What, like, you just, did you see some movie or read a book? Like, oh my God, I want to learn this.
Honestly. So I kind of like, okay, so I'm going to date myself here. Right. But when I was in high school, it was like when the Running Man, or, you know, the new generation calls it the Shuffle, was like really big, like in you know, early 90s. So I kind of was into that dancing, and I met this girl, and she invited me to like a church dance. Right. And it was a country dance, but she was
nice.
Cute. So I was like, yeah, man, I'm there. And man, I was hooked. Like, this whole thing of like dancing with another person. Mm-hmm. And like, when you kick ass, you did it together. I don't know why, it just caught me. Yeah. So then I was like, and I was kind of dating this girl, and I was like, well, we should take some dance classes together. So we did some ballroom dancing together. And then it was really funny. I was totally hooked, and she came and she was like, hey, Derek, you know, I'm kind of broke. I don't have any money. I didn't have any money either. I was like 16. Right. She was like, I can't really take any more classes. And I was like, we're really going to miss you. And I just like stuck with it from there. And then when I went to college, I like started to, I really wanted to keep learning. And there was a teacher who knew how. And so I basically talked her into doing it. And, you know, she was actually really, really amazingly good. Mm-hmm. I got some money from the student government to do it. We started a team. Like, that team still exists like 25 years later now. And they just won a national championship 2 years ago. So like, it just turned into this big thing. And all I really wanted was, I was like, I just love dancing to music I like with cute girls. Like, and it just, totally hooked life, me, man. And I just never stopped. Yeah.
Yo, that's crazy. I love that. That's so nice, man. So my first couple girlfriends have been Hispanic, right? Mm-hmm. I just love them. I think like their culture is beautiful. And then like, just like the dancing too, like I'm the same way. So like, I'm a little bilingual in the sense where, if I go to a foreign country like Barcelona or like Colombia, where they Mexico, where they speak different types of Spanish, I can still have a conversation, even though the lingo is a little different. Like,
yeah.
And it's the same thing as like, if you go to London and you go to the United States, we're both speaking English, but it's like, you know, there's different tonalities, you know, and words.
Yeah, dialects. You know what I
mean? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, dude, that's so cool. I'm the same way. Like, I'm real big into dancing. I have two left feet, I'll be honest. But, you know, I gotta brush up on that. So that's going to be fun.
It's just practice. Because honestly, when I started, I wasn't that good. It was really frustrating for me, because probably in my first 2 years of doing it, like, people who were somewhat talented would come in, they'd never danced before, and they were better than me. And I was just like, ugh, because I'm working so hard at this. But after a couple of years, I got better and better and better. And the better you get, the more fun it is, the more you practice, the better you get. So it kind of turns into the upward spiral.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just hooked. And you know, the same thing happened with sailing. I just went out, I was on a boat, and I was used to like motorboats and going fast and all this stuff. And I went out with this guy, cause he was like, hey, I'm taking these girls sailing and I could really use another hand. You want to come? And I was like, yeah, sailboat girls. Yeah, I'm in.
No brainer.
So I go out there and he's like pulling the boat out. And then he turns off the engine, he throws up the sail, and we just take off, and it's totally quiet. And I was like, whoa, like, it's some things in life just hook you. And I think you can't turn away from that. You really got to embrace it. Like you said, know who you are. And I don't think you even get to pick those things. I think they pick you, and you just go with them. And I think if you can find ways to bring those into your life, into your business, into your social, it just makes everything better. And so I work really hard to do that. Stick with the things that I really love.
Listen, man, sailing, hot girls, clear water, Jesus Christ. I mean, Helen Keller could have picked that one, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I was just caught off guard, because I always liked boats, but sailing I like a lot better than motorboating, for just because of the quiet and the peacefulness of it.
Yeah, I can understand that too. I've done like some jet skiing here and there, but I would want to try sailing, like, you know, just get a couple people out there, you know, play around with I don't even know the terminology, the rafflers or whatever, and just... let it go, man.
It's super cool, because it isn't super hard to do halfway decent. You know, if you want to be really good, of course, there's a lot of skill, but you're just like working in harmony with nature. And, I know that sounds kind of cheesy, but really it's just like, holy cow, it's just the wind and it just like makes this huge thing go. And you know, with regular motorboats and stuff, you can turn up the music and you can have a good time, but you got that motor going and you got the smoke and the fuel smell. And with this, you just have none of that. And there's always like a little bit of a breeze because you're moving on a sailboat with into the wind generally. So just, I don't know, man, it's just perfect. And you can turn up the music and have a great time, but it still feels totally different.
So I train mixed martial arts. So I it's the same thing with like nature and like contour. It's how you feel with dancing, where you're contorting your body. And it's, listen, even though, you know, I'm trying to fight my partner, you're not trying to fight, you know, your dance partner. It's a duet. It's a dance, really. It really is a dance. And you can only have one person who leads and one person that follows. Then it can be flipped. And so it's very, very similar in that way, for sure. But listen, man, this was an absolute pleasure. If people can find you on website, social media, where can they find you? And like, do you have anything coming out that you want to share?
Well, we are launching a podcast shortly here called Small Business, Big Life. And I'm going to be interviewing six-figure business owners or seven-figure business owners who have become quite successful. And we're really going to focus on, you know, instead of just starting with their story and the whole thing, like jumping into like what are the key things that they've learned that they can pass on and then maybe tell their story later on in the episode, but really trying to make it great. But we're building the YouTube channel. So you can find that at biglifefinancial.com/YouTube. And we also have a book that talks about that whole financial strategy I talked about. You just go to biglifefinancial.com/freegift, F-R-E-E-G-I-F-T. You can download the book for free, check it out. I think there's just a ton of value in all of those things. I really try not to think about like, how can I make money? I really think about just create massive value for people and they will want to exchange their dollars for that. So that's really the focus with the book and the giveaway and the videos and all the other stuff that we're doing. But yeah, we're just like you, we're scaling, man.
Love it, man. And I definitely get to get a copy of that book, but dude, thank you so much. And we'll see you soon, man.
Appreciate it.
Awesome. Derek Van Ness, ladies and gentlemen. Woo!